Hello, and welcome to the Glossy Beauty Podcast. I'm Emma Sandler, beauty and wellness editor at Glossy, and your host for today's episode. As beauty consumers, we're all looking for products that address our specific needs. But up until only a few years ago, it wasn't possible for a brand to do everything for everyone. That is, until customizable beauty brands like Pros launched into the scene approximately 7 years ago, offering nearly endless permutations for hair products based on an intake survey customers filled out. Since its founding in 2017, the brand has sold over 10 million units and launched into skincare products in May 2023. Additionally, Pros reached profitability at the same time as a solely DTC company after doing $135 million in sales last year. To talk about this ongoing success and growth of the customizable space, we welcome Megan Streeter, Pros CMO, to the show. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Emma.
How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm great. It's Friday, and I am in Williamsburg in the office.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Super happy to be here.
As I mentioned, like hair care, super ripe category for innovation and disruption over the last several years. Tell me a bit about what role you see Pros playing in driving that buzziness of the category.
You're right. The category has been on fire. It's had double-digit growth over the last couple of years, which is super exciting. We've been able to actually capitalize upon it and kind of what I would say, contribute to kind of the buzziness. Pros, in my opinion, is helping to drive that growth and to drive that buzziness. I think what's different for us is like personalization used to be a trend, but now it no longer is, and it's the future. And we're kind of the leader there. And so when I think about buzziness and I think about Pros and I think about the hair care category, there are three things that come to mind. First and foremost, we've reconceptualized kind of the idea of one-size-fits-all approach. So as you were saying before, you weren't able to get a product that was really individually met for your needs, and we've been able to do so with our consultation. So now every single product is very tailored to the needs of the consumer, and that's incredible. Also, what I would say is secondarily is AI. AI is a buzzword. Everyone's using it. But AI has been honestly at the core of who we are from the get-go. We're really proud of our proprietary AI algorithm that really engines and like fuels what happens behind the scenes to create that personalized product. I think what's, you know, really unique for us is that this consultation that we've created actually takes into account over 80 factors in terms of the individual. So I don't know. Have you slept a lot today? What's your personal lifestyle? Are you out in the sun a lot? What's your skin type? What's your hair type? Where do you live? All these things really matter in terms of being able to deliver the best product that you need. And, you know, what's incredible and what would kind of help to drive to that buzziness is also that our AI algorithm continuously improves, right? It just doesn't stop. It's always learning. So we're always creating better and better products for that individual. And then I would say the third thing that when it comes to mind in terms of what's buzzy out there for beauty is sustainability. You know, consumers are really, really looking at their beauty products, not to only perform, but also be sustainably focused. And I'd say what we've been able to do at Pros is kind of marry the approach of having, you know, tech and beauty together. But what's really incredible is that customers, we don't actually make the product until you finish that consultation, right? So you have to press that button. You have to go through our questions that we have. You have to press that button that says order now. And until then, do we make that product? So for us, that's really key to like the essence of Pros and helps to be able to like eliminate waste when it comes to what's in your closet, what's on that shelf at a beauty store, so that we're ensuring that we're not wasting product and we're actually doing good for the environment.
Megan, how long have you been with Pros? I'm curious about what it is that you were hoping to do when you first started and telling us a bit about some of those efforts over the last several years.
I've been actually with Pros for over 3 years. So I just had my anniversary in April.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So Pros, when I came over, I've been in the beauty industry for a long time. I feel old, like 20 plus years, but I've had amazing experiences. I've been able to work on all geographies, all categories, and work for brand, you know, companies such as Lauder, L'Oreal, and Avon, and most recently at DivaCurl before Pros. So when I came in, there was a couple things that working with the founder, you know, Arnaud, who is our CEO as well, was how do we merge beauty and tech? The company is definitely a beauty tech company, but what we needed to do was find that kind of connective tissue to kind of bring that to life a little bit more. So one of my top priorities was creating an awareness campaign around that, building the innovation pipeline that would be helping to support that, kind of finding the heart of what it meant for pros and our consumers and really listening to them. And then I think secondarily, when I came in, the company was still relatively small in terms of team. And I think great companies are built by great people. And my second priority was finding the right team to be able to really propel that and propel the change we needed and also propel kind of the growth that we were looking for. So my second priority was just finding great individuals that could add to like the strategy, add to the culture, and help kind of set the foundation for where pros wanted to be. And then I guess I would say the third thing was when I came in was Arnaud and the other founders and the team that had already been in place had created an incredible foundation in terms of what the company, the vision, our mission, what we were looking to do. And I was there just to help scale it, you know? So scaling meaning in terms of awareness, scaling in terms of, as I was saying, like innovation, and then also scaling in terms of other categories, right? Being able to reach new customers through other means. And so, yeah, those are kind of the three priorities that when I came in.
I'm curious, because you mentioned AI earlier, do you think that's a narrative that customers care about, that AI helps pros, or that it's AI-backed, or any other way that we could talk about AI?
Yeah, I think AI, honestly, is just becoming integral to everyday language now, right? You see it everywhere. I think it's part of, you know, it's part of life. For us, it's really important. We are an AI-powered company. Without that algorithm, without that proprietary algorithm, we would not be able to do what we do. And so I do think it's important to the consumer. I think it's also important to marry that with kind of the human touch, I would say. And that's where our R&D team, our product development team, our marketing team put a lot of energy and emphasis and have incredible expertise. And so we're able to blend the two, right? We're able to find that marriage between what AI and technology does for us, but then also support it with the human touch. And I think that's a unique kind of proposition that we also offer here at Pros.
With that unique proposition, I mean, tell us a bit more about how Pros separates itself from some of the other customized hair and skincare brands that exist.
In terms of what makes us distinct, I would say there's a few areas. First and foremost, especially in comparison to other brands, we are truly, truly personalized. And as we were saying before, until you go through the consultation, you will not get that product, right? So everything is made to order just for you. In addition to that, we have a really unique, I would say, or distinct technology that we provide, which is called Review and Refine, which you don't find with many other brands, even customized or non-customized, where you have the opportunity to revisit and reassess your consultation and adapt what you had originally provided. So just making it up, say you moved, and first you were living in New York and you moved to LA. Well, the temperature is really different and the climate's very different. So your products should evolve with you. So you are able to do that with us, which is very, very unique and different versus what's out there in the marketplace today. I would also say in terms of what's unique, it's just our tech stack. You know, we have a custom-built tech stack, which is really different, and that's what enables us to analyze, collect all the consumer needs, build those personalized formulas, and then honestly transform them into loyal customers because we are addressing their core needs at the get-go. The other thing that I would say that makes us really unique is that we have clinical backing in terms of like personalization works better. We're really proud. I mean, we always knew it like from the get-go that personalization is going to work better for the individual. But last year we conducted a clinical study that was actually a 4-week study. It was double blind. It was a controlled clinical study. And we were able to compare it to other premium off-the-shelf alternatives. And we were able to deliver that, yes, personalization works better. And I think that's a huge huge distinct proposition that other brands aren't able to kind of hone or hold their hat to. And then lastly, I would say our product performance. You know, we have an incredible team that we spoke about in terms of research and development. And then in addition to that, I would say just the impact that we make on the planet and the community. We are a B Corp. You know, there aren't many B Corps out there. They are growing, which is really exciting. And we love being part of them, but, you know, having other other brands be part of that circle. But that's really unique in the beauty space. And so we pride ourselves on that. We have higher standards when it comes to what we're able to do, not only for the planet and the community, but, you know, we also are a public benefit corporation and we're also climate neutral. So there's a lot of different opportunities and pillars and distinctness that makes us different than what's out there today.
We will circle back on some of the more sustainability elements in a little bit. But in the meantime, I had mentioned this before that Pros expanded to skincare. And I'm very curious to know how this category is faring compared to hair care, how customers have responded, and of course, why Pros even bothered to expand to skincare.
We are so proud of our skincare expansion. You know, there's a team back here that has been working on it for over 2 years. So there has been a lot of love that has gone into building this. And for us, honestly, it was an opportunity to kind of demonstrate the fact that we wanted to not only be a personalized hair care brand. Our vision is to be a personalized beauty company. That is really important to us. So that's part of the reason why we did it, to kind of demonstrate and show that we could. Since we launched in May of 2023, we've had exceptional growth, month over month growth, which has been fantastic. We took a very different approach even to how we launched. We capitalized on our existing subscribers first. So all last year was about testing and learning and optimizing, which is very true to like what we do at Pros. And what we saw in terms of the response rate from our customers was incredible. We were able to convert more than 10% of our subscriber base who are currently hair care customers. Are in terms of people repeating, right? In terms of people coming back and buying month over month has been over 80%, which is an incredible statistic. We've gotten amazing 5-star reviews. And so it has been an incredible launch for us, one that we're really, really proud and one that we just started building. Our line is only 3 products. So it's a small, tight line of skincare where we have a cleanser, we have a serum, and we have a moisturizer. But we are able to deliver over 15 million possible formulations. So really going back to that notion of what we're saying is like, we truly can create that personalized product for you, depending on how you filled out that consultation. So yeah, it's been a journey. It's been fun. We're always learning, but we're just at the beginning, to say the least.
Obviously, as a customized brand, you can address and reach customers and their needs in all sorts of different ways. So you're not limited to only marketing towards a certain cohort of people. But with that said, I am very curious if Pros has a core demo that's naturally gravitated towards the brand and or if there are commonalities as to why people end up going with Pros for their hair care or their skincare.
There's definitely commonalities between the two. I think on both sides, on hair care and skincare, they just weren't finding what they needed off the shelf, to be very honest. What you see, yes, there's definitely permutations when you walk into a different type of retail environment. But at the end of the day, they're not able to do what we can do. They can't go to like, how much sleep are you getting? They're not able to ask the questions of where they live, which can totally affect the way in which your hair, your skin is reacting. They're not asking about where you are in terms of your age and your life cycle, right? Which is really, really important, especially women or men, but just across the board is to be able to adapt. And additionally, you know, I would say customers are always, you know, they need something that is truly meeting their needs at a specific time. And sometimes the brands don't necessarily evolve with them and they are able to evolve with us. So just making up, you're 25 last year, but you've started to age and you maybe need something a little bit more. I could say that myself now with 2 kids, you know, that are a little bit, they're great, but a lot of added responsibility. And you just may have different needs. And so being able to kind of change and do that is really, really important.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the rest of our conversation. I mentioned earlier that Prose has reached profitability. It earned $135 million in sales last year. And it's all as a DTC company. So I'm super curious, because we've seen this shakeup of the DTC environment over the last 2-3 years, especially, what your outlook is on DTC. And what do you think is working and not working anymore from that larger perspective?
We've watched it as well, and we have fared very well. And I think we're very proud in terms of the fact that after, you know, 6 years, because it was last year when we hit profitability, that we've been able to maintain that. Because definitely it's been a tough environment. Like, the marketplace has changed. Costs have risen, not only in terms of product costs, but advertising costs. So you have to be really smart in terms of where you're putting your investments and how you're doing that. I think there's a few things in terms of when I think about Prose and what's enabled us to do that and to continue to be on, you know, the path of profitability, has been our tech stack has allowed us to scale. We've been able to find efficiencies there. Skincare was a great driver in terms of helping profitability as well. And we've gotten smarter. I think part of our culture is constantly learning. We're always testing and learning. So we have found new ways to be able to look at our investments in terms of, you know, different attribution models, incrementality testing, really honing into the different cohorts as you were speaking to, and making sure that we're addressing their needs, not only just from a product perspective, but from the top of funnel, right, through the whole customer journey. So we're laser focused. I mean, we are a very data focused company. So we do not rest on our laurels. We are every day looking at the numbers and making sure we're moving in the right direction, but we've helped to set up the right infrastructure to do that and have the right checks and balances to make sure that we're moving in the right direction. I know you asked me, like, what do you think for other D2C companies? I think, you know, it's hard. You can't replicate what we're doing here. It's, you know, I think that's part of our uniqueness and what creates our, you know, defensibility. But what I can say is, like, costs will continue to rise. It's just, how are you investing? I think you have to really be hyper-focused and super smart in terms of your attribution and understanding where you're getting that next incremental customer at the most efficient cost. I also think you need to be building organic. You need that organic to come in, right, to help balance kind of the cost of acquisition. And, you know, as you look from a total company perspective, you need to be investing in your people at the right pace as well. And so I think that's the other areas that we've been looking at and trying to find, you know, new efficiencies, not, you know, through our manufacturing practices or really getting smarter in terms of our analytics and where we're investing. But you got to stay at pace. It's going to be ever-changing is what I would say.
From that attribution standpoint, tell us more. What are the things that you're investing in or have pulled back from that just don't work the same anymore?
Yeah, you know, I think lion's share, there's, you know, a couple big companies that I would say out there called, you know, the Metas, the Googles, the TikToks of the world. They're still super important and great partners and areas of where you can find new customer acquisition at an efficient cost. When it comes to attribution, I think we're looking at the full funnel now versus just being only a direct response company and seeing how that all plays together. So we've shifted in terms of some of our marketing strategies of where we first started, right? So we're 7 years in now. So we need to start continuing to build into that equity and building into that awareness to drive that new customer acquisition. We've also looked at, like, influencers. I mean, that is a big investment for a lot of brands out there. And so we've definitely rebalanced and, you know, looking at the various types of partners where they also sit in terms of the top of funnel all the way to DR, and making sure that really it pays back and it has the right ROI. And then creative and also, you know, synergies in terms of brand partnerships and things like that to help to build organic has definitely been another area for us where we see a great return, maybe not as an immediate return, but something that you don't want to, you know, just to pull back necessarily right now.
As a side note, I'm curious about Prose and the team's thoughts on working with retailers or a wholesale option. There are others, peers in your customizable category that are working with retailers either through an e-commerce sense or through a physical indoor sense. And so I'm curious what the future might hold for Pros with that. You've obviously done very well for yourselves just as a DTC only brand so far.
Yes. Good question. We get this one every so often. What I would say is, I mean, first and foremost, we're super focused on still pushing the boundaries when it comes to D2C. I mean, the fact that we just launched skincare last year, we still have a lot of room to grow there and with other categories. So that's definitely the primary focus and I would say priority as a business and a company. That being said, you know, obviously we know customers are not only shopping on D2C, right? So we do need to meet the needs as we need to meet customers where they're at. So we're going to continue to focus on D2C for now, but obviously as the business evolves, as we start looking at different ways to reach new customers, find new customers and different, could it be, you know, to your point, could it be with a retail partner or such? We'll stay open, but nothing right now to kind of commit to, but we'll continue to stay open and see where does it take us.
Well, in that case, tell us some of the other big focus areas for Pros' business this year.
So I would say in terms of focus areas, first and foremost, priorities for 2024 is building awareness and equity. As I talked about, you know, personalization works better. We want to be shouting that from the rooftops. We want everyone to be hearing that. So we will definitely be focused on kind of driving that awareness and that that scientific credibility with more of a big campaign coming out in second half. As I spoken to, second priority is skincare. We have just started with skincare. So we're definitely looking to accelerate the skincare business through new customer acquisition. Last year was all about, you know, converting our current customers. This year will be about how do we find those new customers and continue to retain them. So that's a big, big priority for us in the business. I would say continuing to strengthen our pipeline is another area, our innovation pipeline. We know that the needs of customers continue to grow, so we need to keep at pace with that and be able to ensure that we're offering the right products at the right time, both from hair care and skincare. So we'll continue to put a lot of emphasis there and start to look at what future categories we can think about. And then I would say last but not least is really ensuring we continue to stay true to our principles of, you know, made to order, B Corp, sustainability objectives. It's really, really important to us. We want to be making a positive impact on the climate, on people. And so that is something that resonates with us and that we stay very committed to year over year.
Yes. And in terms of sustainability, I want to hear more about the life cycle assessment that I've heard about, and as well as the Emerging Entrepreneurs in Beauty Grant, which I was told about. Would you mind explaining to our audience both of these things and telling us a little bit about the backstory behind them too?
Sure. First of all, I can't take credit because it's really being led by our VP of Social Impact and Sustainability, Helen. So she is the premier like social impact and sustainability leader. So this is all for her, but I will try to do it justice. But what I would say, it's really important. And we work in, you know, obviously in partnership, but we really, truly hold ourselves accountable to our sustainability targets. You know, we create those every year. We set those out. We make sure the whole company knows that. And one of the things that Helen and her team conducted was a full life cycle assessment on our core product trio. So that's meaning our shampoo, our conditioner, as well as our masks, because those are, you know, a majority, a bulk of our business that we have. And what we wanted to make sure was that we were looking at all aspects of the life cycle in terms of like from when we create the product to as it gets used to when it gets discarded, right? And so she did a full analysis looking at our production in terms of the raw materials, the energy, the emissions that we're producing with our products. She also looked in terms of usage, right? And so how much water are people utilizing when they're actually shampooing and conditioning their hairs, which obviously has a very big impact on the environment. And then she looked at the end of life, right? So when it came to our packaging, discarding it or recycling it and seeing what that impact was. And she was able to look at the total life cycle to see, are we making a positive impact or a negative impact? And what we do know, because we're made to order, we're making a positive impact, which is great. But that doesn't mean that we're still satisfied. We want to continue to push that and how we can optimize there. So her and her team are very focused on that. That's what they do every day and help us as, you know, a marketing team make those inroads and make the make optimizations along the way. And so we've now, it's very integrated into our whole, I would say, development process in terms of really thinking from an eco-design perspective to make sure whatever new product that we're putting out there, that it is eco-friendly or it has consideration around it so that we're ensuring we're making that positive impact. And then I think you also asked me about the emerging entrepreneurs, correct?
Yes. I want to hear more about the emerging entrepreneurs and beauty grant.
Cool. This also, we have lots of things to be excited about, but this was really exciting too.
Something's always going on.
Something's always going on. Yeah. So last fall, we awarded $10,000 to emerging entrepreneurs in a beauty grant. So we had not done that before. As I had mentioned, you know, we have three co-founders who started this business from the get-go. So, and they're all entrepreneurs at heart. And it was really important to them. And it was really important to the company as well to continue to kind of nurture that entrepreneurial spirit, especially in business leaders. And honestly, provide them with whatever support they needed and resources that we could provide. So we're very proud of this. We're very excited to be able to contribute in this way. And last year, the winner was Genesis Dominguez. And so she's actually the founder of Honey Beauty. She lives in New York, so she's a New York City-based woman. She's all, you know, she has created an incredible clean hair care brand, but rooted in Latin heritage. And so we were able to award that in terms of to provide her with another, with support, with financial support to kind of build her business and kind of continue to accelerate that. So we love being able to do that. You know, we know what it's like to start at the get-go, right? To start from the beginning when you're very conscious about every single dollar. Not that we aren't today either, but it's hard. And sometimes you need help. And it was incredible for us to find someone that really is kind of pushing the envelope and that we could invest in them.
Yeah, of course, the margin of error when you're that small of a brand is a lot tighter than if you are a more established company at this
point. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's a lot of risk. And we wanted to celebrate and recognize someone that's really willing to take that risk, be scrappy in a way as well, right? Because that's what you do when you're in the beginning stages. And, you know, if this helps her, amazing. So we're really proud of that.
Yeah. So getting back to the hair category at large, how do you foresee that space continuing to evolve? And where are you determined for Pros to fit into that future as well?
So I would say the hair care category, right? So as we started the beginning of our conversation, personalization used to be a buzzword, is what I would say. And now you see personalization everywhere in your every day-to-day life, right? Like if you think about Netflix, right? You're being personalized in terms of your selection of what pops up on your feed. If you think about what's being, you know, pops up in your Instagram feed as well. And so one thing I do believe is that the hair care category is going to continue to, and even the skincare category is going to continue in that direction. I think customers are actually going to demand that. They're going to look for products that are truly and specifically created for them. That's really exciting for us, right? Because we're already here. So we're ready to kind of continue to service those customers and their needs. I think what also is going to continue in terms of the hair care category or in terms of evolution is that technology is going to be more and more at the forefront. I believe that's where you're going to see a lot of innovation. And again, we're very excited because we've been able to pioneer this, right? So from the beginning, AI has always been part of our core offering. It's not like a one-off initiative for us. It's just part of our core. I would also say, as I think about beauty customers in general, they're becoming more and more discerning. They want more and more proof in the pudding, I would say, in terms of that these products will really work for us or work for them. And I would actually say that, again, that is something that we're going to, as a company, as a brand, as categories, we're going to have to continue to demonstrate that. And that's where our clinical study that we just did in terms of personalization works better has been great. So again, we're kind of trying to be at the forefront, not at the, you know, at the forefront of all these trends and where it's going. I would say the other area that I see in terms of where hair care is going is being more sustainably focused. I believe customers are going to demand that. I believe that, and we see that from all different studies and trends and why we have our fabulous Helen at the helm of sustainability and social impact. But I do believe that companies are going to need to continue to step up. And so I don't think it's going away. I think it's just going to become more and more at the forefront. And with the products that we have to offer that are all made to order, we feel we're really positioned well for that as well.
Megan, thank you so much for joining us today, chatting with us all things hair care, skincare, pros. We're so appreciative. This has been wonderful.
Thank you. This has been great.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Glossy Beauty Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help us out. And of course, visit glossy.co/beauty for even more coverage of the beauty industry. Sarah Sprooks-Feiner will be hosting next week. Bye.